What do I mean by the digital explosion? Well, I actually mean lots of things by the digital explosion. At one level, I just mean that everything is now recorded and communicated in digital form. And what does digital form mean? It means that a picture, a piece of music, a telephone conversation, whatever it is reduced to zeros and ones. Okay, so when we talk about bits, blown to bits in the title of the book, the bits, that's a pun, the bits that we're referring to are the zeros and ones, and patterns of zeros and ones can be used to represent colors, tonal values, and lots of other things. And we'll talk about representations next time. But there's kind of bits reductionism is a sort of philosophical what it is, that if you think of everything as being bits, then you can, for example, send anything over the internet. We think of, you know, we use the internet for sending web pages and emails. Well, you don't really, that's not really what the internet does. The internet just sends bits. And there's some protocols and coding by the computers at the ends of the internet, the New York Times website and your computer, somehow agree that the patterns of zeros and ones that the New York Times is sending to you should be rendered by your computer as something that looks like what we call a web page. If you place a Skype telephone call using your computer and you Skype to some other person, by the way, anybody who doesn't use Skype, how many people know what Skype is? Most everybody uses Skype. Okay, anybody who doesn't use Skype, you got to get Skype. Everybody's got to have it. It's great. It's free. It's good. I mean, it's not free, but it's almost free. As far as the internet goes, it's just delivering zeros and ones, just the same way. But your computer and the computer of the person you're talking to have somehow managed to work out a protocol where they agree that the zeros and ones should be turned at the other end into a telephone call. Okay. So what's exploded? Well, the number of bits. There's actually been a research project at Berkeley for years trying to document the number of bits that get created every year with all of these MP3s and digitized movies and photographs and all of the bits that are up there on Flickr and so on and so forth. So there's been this explosive growth in the number of bits. I'm going to use right down here some of the other things that have exploded that technologically that have made that digital explosion possible. So I think I can do this over here. So we have storage capacity, to be sure. Okay? The digital revolution wouldn't have been possible until it was possible to save the vast quantities of bits that people want to ship around. And some of these, to give you a sense of the explosive growth in storage size, I brought in for you a 100 megabyte disk from 1975. This is an RPO, this is a DEC RPO4 disk. This is just the disk drive to actually read the data on it. You had to put it in something that basically looked like a top-loading washing machine. You put it in there. So that's a 100 megabyte disk. And this is a 100 gigabyte disk. Okay, so that's 100 million bytes. This is 100 billion bytes. I think now this is the broken disk from my Macintosh. I replaced it with a 250 gigabyte disk with the same form factor, you know, the same dimensions and so on. So,
and that's got the whole drive too.
What? Oh, the drive is, this has got more than just the magnetic surface, you know, in it. So, you know, again, you know, when things break, I like to take them apart. So here's an iPod, right? I trust everybody's seen one of these before somewhere, right? Okay, so you ever opened yours up? Oh, you should do it if you ever get a broken iPod. So it's got a little bit of electronics in there. It's got a few chips, and it's got a little disk drive. This is an old iPod, so this is a 20 gigabyte iPod. Same form factor as now, what, 120 or more than that? How big are the biggest iPods now? How much? 160 gigs? Okay, so 160 gigs would be, you know, 1,600 times the size of that washing machine thing. Anyway, but here's the 20 megabyte disk. You can actually see the little disk in there. It's actually a little round thing. It spins around actually quite slowly. But it is a little rotating medium. And the storage densities just keep going up and up and up. So we're going to talk about how much they go up and what the explosive force is, but that's one capacity. Processing speed. Okay, so computers keep getting faster and faster and faster, and things, it became possible to do certain things that weren't possible before in practice, although they might have been possible in theory, only when the speed of the little brain, the central processing unit of the computer, got fast enough. Those are two different phenomena. There's two different technologies, speed of processors and the speed and the size of disks. And the third one is communication speed. Okay? I'm teaching to an adult audience here, so you probably remember the days before broadband was available at home. How many people ever had a dial-up connection to the internet or to something, you know, to CompuServe or something like that? Right? I remember that. I had four phone lines in my house at one point because I had a voice line for me and for my kids, and I had a dial-up line for me and for my kids. Right? So I'm down pretty much to zero now. I mean, I still have a landline. I don't know why. I never use it. But everything goes through my broadband connection. So that communication speed, which of course is necessary if you're going to move large amounts of data from one place to another, is what makes things possible. You want to bring up your Google Earth image here? So, you know, things like this were unthinkable years ago. These vast databases showing the entire Earth down to a very fine level of resolution. So where are we? We're looking at Mountain View, California, which actually just happens to be the address of Google.
If anybody was wondering, that is Google.
This is Google's address. Okay.
Get really close.
Who's played with Google Earth before? Most of
these are just Google Map pictures, actually.
That's right. These are actually from Google Maps.
I was just looking for where I can read the letters on the parking space.
Yeah, somewhere in the parking lot. And just to give you an idea of the resolution, some of the parking spaces are actually marked as visitors only, just to give you some sense of the fineness of the resolution. You know. These are satellite pictures. So you can actually read them. See, does it say facilities parking only? Okay. So imagine having the whole Earth mapped to that level of resolution, sitting, you know, on some computers that Google owns somewhere, and being able to move them extremely quickly from wherever Google is storing them onto Ken's laptop right here. This would have been absolutely, absolutely unthinkable. Very interesting story I read, by the way, about Google. Google is today There's a story that it's trying to figure out how to put some of its disk servers, which actually do use lots and lots of power. Okay, they've been building their disk farms, as the phrase goes, out next to hydroelectric dams and so on, because they use so much power. They're going to try to put them on barges, so that they can use wave energy to power their servers that we all use. And we'll have a lot to say about
it. And for cooling. You want to see the street picture there?
Oh, sure. Let's see this. Let's see the street picture. Well, street, you know, Google Street View, of course, shows you what it looks like from ground level. They periodically, I don't think they repeat, but they have sent camera around on a, mounted on top of a car. And look at that. You know, whatever poor Google employee happened to be standing on the sidewalk on the day that the Google camera went by, you know?
Oops. Sorry about that.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I thought it was just moving. We got moved here, but you get the idea.
You get the idea. So, you know, there's people sitting in, Turkmenistan or South Ossetia or something like that. They can be looking at these people too.
Right.
Weird. That's a different world. That's a world that was caused by that. Okay, there's a couple more things I'm just going to throw in here. Price. Pretty much everything has, of course, imploded, not exploded. And that's associated with all of these other things. And then the other one, which is the one we started with, is that the number of sensors has exploded into private hands. You know, the consumer ones are easy to think of. They're things like cell phone cameras and the microphones on your cell phone. But there are all kinds of other ones. For example, the ones that measure the speed of your car and then record it if you crash the car. So there's just a lot more data captured. We'll talk about that story next week, but there's a lot more data captured because it's so easy to capture. And so part of the force of the explosion is that we're now living in a world where data is very easily produced in lots of places all over the world, and unnecessary to discard. In the world of the RPO4 disk drive, that Ken and I actually remember a world even older than the RPO4 disk drive. This was like, you know,
significantly
unbelievable that you would have a 40 megabyte, 100 megabyte disk drive, whatever this was. You actually had to decide what you were going to save and what you were going to throw away, because it cost money to store stuff, and even you couldn't buy enough money to have disk drives big enough to save everything.
You threw away 1.9.
What?
Threw away 1.9.
Threw away 1.9? I don't know what you mean.
Only save 2 digits.
Oh, yeah, right. So that's the best example. He's talking about the Y2K problem in the year 2000. You know, you would not waste, you know, in 1970, you would not record years with 4 digits because the cumulative cost of remembering 191919, when that was always the same, was too high, which of course caused some issues when we actually did reach the year 2000 and people had used these compressed storage methods. But now, you know, you go into a supermarket and buy a bag of cheese doodles and put down, you know, 50 cents, you know, the fact that at 5:23 p.m. just before you came over to this class, at register number something or other, you paid 50 cents for brand X cheese doodles, you know, is now going to be recorded forever. And, you know, if you paid for it with a credit card, then potentially in a way that's actually attached to your name and your credit card number, too. But at least for the store's purpose, you know, who knows? They might come in handy someday. They might want to do some marketing analysis about, you know, whether they sell more cheese doodles on days when it's under, when it's over 70 degrees or something. You know, who knows? So it's easier not to throw data away if you think you might have any use for it. But that creates huge, huge privacy issues that we're going to talk about. Okay, so those are some parts of the explosion on the technology side. But we've got a second meaning for the explosion, which is that our sense of the way the world works has also been disrupted in complicated ways. Okay? In another time, I could not have gotten a message. I could have gotten a message. He could have called me. But the substance of the message that I got just before I came in here, which is somebody I know claims to have just friended Bristol Palin. Okay? Apparently she's got a Facebook page. We've determined that. Now you guys can all try to friend her. How many people have Facebook? How many people use Facebook? Okay, only about half of you. I've got a Facebook page, but I don't use it. The only reason I have it is because one of my former students told me that you couldn't be a real author anymore without a Facebook page and a book for the Facebook group. So there's a blown to bits Facebook group. Okay, so the sort of social connectivity has changed in ways. Privacy has changed in ways. We can, you know, look at, we did the Google Earth thing. But there are other ways as well. Okay, we'll revisit those in a minute. But I part of the disruption implied by the explosion is the explosion of some social expectations that we have had. Our children, you know, maybe are now being raised without those expectations in the first place, some of them.